Welcome to the deep dive. We sort through the noise, try to find the signal. Okay, today we're plunging into a story that honestly reads like a thriller, but it comes from a very real, very intense personal account. We're looking at excerpts from Betrayal, Witchcraft, and Redemption, a Phoenix survival story by Ricky Zakari. And look, this isn't just a book review. It's a raw narrative, really forces you to confront some pretty extreme limits of human experience.
That's right. Our mission here is really to dissect Ricky Zakari's journey as laid out in the source. We're going to explore how this individual apparently grappled with, well, profound betrayal, faced direct physical danger, and navigated what they describe as actual supernatural threats.
Yeah, supernatural is quite a claim.
It is. And ultimately, we want to examine how they found resilience, maybe a renewed sense of purpose after going through such extreme adversity. This account, you know, as it's presented, really serves as a powerful look at human strength and maybe where unexpected comfort comes from when everything else just falls apart.
Okay, so let's unpack this. To really get the weight of what happened, we need to understand the foundation first, the part that got shattered. The story kicks off back in 2000. That's when Ricky Zakari met this man, Harvey.
Right.
And the book makes it clear, this wasn't just some casual friend. We're talking 16 years. 16 years of friendship, described as deep, significant.
16 years is a long time.
It really is.
Yeah,
think about that. Over a decade and a half, shared life, trust built up. It sounds like, you know, someone solid in your life, someone you wouldn't second guess.
And that's exactly why the discovery was so jarring, according to the text. Ricky Zakari found out Harvey had apparently lived a double life. All those years.
A double life. Doing what?
Well, this wasn't just like a secret hobby. The book explicitly says Harvey was secretly practicing witchcraft and involved with the whole community into darkness.
Wow. Okay.
And this is while Ricky Zakari was, in their own words, into Jesus. So you have this huge contrast.
Yeah, that's more than just different interests. But
exactly. It's a massive ideological gap. What's fascinating here, I think, is looking at that stark contrast. Two completely different worlds apparently coexisting in this one relationship. The source really dives into that sense of profound deceit, how it just ruptures your whole reality.
It must. It forces you to reconcile everything you thought you knew with this.
Mm-hmm.
This completely opposite, terrifying truth.
Right. The mental gymnastics involved in processing that kind of betrayal, that deep level of deceit, must have been, well, immense.
It really sounds like your whole world gets turned upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, many of us maybe know that feeling, maybe on a smaller scale, right? Mm-hmm. Being blindsided when someone you trust just isn't who you thought. But when it involves these huge opposing spiritual things you mentioned, darkness versus Jesus, did the source say more about how that specific aspect made the betrayal feel worse, like beyond just a friendship ending?
Yeah, it seems to. The book portrays Ricky Zakari really struggling, trying to understand how someone so close could hold such completely opposite beliefs and, well, engage in these practices. It wasn't just feeling fooled, you know? It felt, according to the narrative, like a kind of spiritual battleground that Ricky Zakari didn't even know existed within the friendship itself.
Huh. Like being blindsided on a spiritual level, too.
Sort of, yeah. It suggests this feeling of spiritual vulnerability, a struggle to grasp how someone could keep up such a deep facade. For Ricky Zakari, it felt like an attack on their own faith, their own convictions. It really shifts the betrayal from just, you know, one person letting another down to something much deeper, a spiritual assault almost.
And as if that wasn't enough, the story then takes this incredibly dark turn. The deep dive reveals this horrifying event, a real escalation, May 10th, 2010.
Yes, that date is specified.
Ricky Zakari recounts being, quote, brutally beaten.
Oh.
And held at shotgun point. This wasn't just some argument getting out of hand. This was a direct, violent, life-threatening assault. It makes the betrayal suddenly very physical, very real.
Precisely. And Ricky Zakari attributes surviving that directly to the grace of God. That's stated clearly, which right away highlights the spiritual lens through which this whole ordeal is being viewed in the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this event, it's not just the physical violence, it's the psychological trauma that comes with it, especially from someone you trusted, someone basically like family. It really raises that crucial question. How do you even start to cope with something like that? Such a direct, malicious attack from someone you knew so well.
How do you process that?
Well, the book suggests that this awful moment, while devastating, also really solidified Ricky Zakari's reliance on faith. Like, faith became a shield against both the physical threat and the existential crisis of it all. It's a stark example of how trauma can sometimes force people to find strengths they never knew they had.
It's hard to even imagine. And then The source says this wasn't just a one-off terrible event. It details this ongoing, kind of insidious threat level Ricky Zaccari felt under.
Right, it wasn't over.
The book mentions continued witchcraft, gang stalkings, mind games, all creating chaos, traps, and operating, quote, in secret, 24/7, 7 days a week.
Oh.
So this wasn't about recovering from one attack. It sounds like a prolonged siege. Can you maybe elaborate on what Ricky Zaccari meant by those terms, like gang stalking, witchcraft? Mm-hmm. What did that actually look like, according to the book?
So that's a really important question for a deep dive like this. Ricky Zaccari's account doesn't treat these as abstract ideas. They're described as specific, targeted experiences. So the witchcraft, for example, isn't just symbolic. It's portrayed as perceived malevolent acts aimed directly at them. Things causing unexplained bad luck, health problems, or just this heavy feeling of spiritual attack. And the gang stalkings, that's depicted as this constant feeling of being watched, followed, harassed by an organized group. Like, maybe too many strange coincidences, people acting intrusively, or feeling like private information was somehow being used against them.
That sounds incredibly paranoid, but in this context.
Well, it's described as part of the reality they were living. And the mind games tie into that psychological manipulation aimed at causing confusion, self-doubt, making them question their own sanity. What's really interesting is how the book shows the intense psychological pressure of living under this perceived constant attack. For Ricky Zaccari, the line between, say, normal problems and these supposed supernatural or coordinated attacks seemed to blur. It created this environment of just profound stress.
Right, where everything could be seen as part of this larger, sinister plan. That sounds absolutely exhausting, utterly draining.
Yeah.
And then amidst all this chaos, the source brings up something really, well, touching, but also heartbreaking. Ricky Zaccari has six dogs.
Ah, yes, the dogs.
Sabrina 1, Angel, Sabrina Marshall, Esther, and Shady. Those are the names given. And the book stresses these weren't just pets. They played a huge role, providing, quote, keen sense protection and unconditional love. They even brought warning signs.
They sound like anchors.
Exactly. Yeah. Emotional anchors, but also like a furry little early warning system.
Right.
It really speaks to that human-animal bond, doesn't it?
It really does. And what's so striking here, a really powerful insight from the source, is how critical these dogs became. They were protectors, emotionally and maybe even physically, in a world where human trust had just completely evaporated. They gave that unconditional love, which must have been so rare and precious in Ricky Zaccari's situation then. And their keen sense protection, it suggests they had this intuition about danger.
Like they could sense things.
The book describes it that way, how maybe they'd bark at things unseen or get agitated, providing this unique kind of warning against the perceived game stalking or witchcraft. But here's where it gets incredibly sad.
Mm-hmm.
These loyal companions, these unexpected guardians, they were eventually poisoned, according to the account.
Oh, that's awful. Truly awful.
Yeah. And losing them on top of everything else, it must have been devastating for someone already feeling under siege, losing your main source of comfort, your protectors. It just compounds the trauma enormously. It really highlights the alleged cruelty involved, extending even to the animals that were providing solace. It speaks volumes about the psychological impact, losing those key attachment figures during such a crisis.
Oh, that's just gut-wrenching. To be going through all that, feeling like the world's against you, and then lose the creatures giving you unconditional love. It's not just more suffering. It's like taking away your shield. It just underscores the incredible depth of pain Ricky Zaccari must have felt. Those dogs were clearly more than just pets. They were companions in the trenches, as the book says. It really makes you wonder, with all this going on, how does anyone find peace? Or just the will to keep fighting?
And that brings us to a really crucial turning point in Ricky Zaccari's story, as presented. The book explicitly describes this turn inward, a deepening of, quote, my relationship with Jesus.
The faith aspect again.
Yes. Ricky Zaccari vividly describes feeling, quote, Jesus walking with me through that storm and finding that God brought peace in the storm. This isn't just a mention. It's portrayed as a vital, active lifeline, especially when feeling so isolated, so alone.
So faith became the anchor.
It seems so. If we connect this to, you know, the bigger picture of human resilience, it's a powerful example. When people feel stripped of everything else, they often find immense strength in their beliefs. Faith can provide a way to understand suffering, find purpose, maybe feel comfort from something beyond the immediate chaos. And this inner strength, the spiritual grounding, apparently empowered Ricky Zaccari to make that crucial decision to finally get away from Harvey, to physically remove themselves.
Major step.
A huge life-affirming step, reclaiming some agency, moving out of that immediate danger zone.
It really shows how someone's spiritual path can give them the strength to change their actual physical circumstances. Okay, so the aftermath. With any story this intense, you have to ask what happened next. Ricky Zaccari does reveal some pretty unsettling outcomes for the people allegedly involved.
Yes, the account addresses that.
The book states that Harvey, the former friend, the betrayer, reportedly died. A horrible death, it says. But importantly, not by God's hand, but his own. Ricky Zaccari describes it as murder.
A very specific framing.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop there. Ricky Zaccari also states, quote, "The other 15 people involved trying to murder me also died horrible deaths by their own hand."
Wow.
15 other people. Yeah. It's incredibly stark, almost biblical, the sense of consequence described.
And what's really critical for us to grasp here, looking at the source, is Ricky Zaccari's personal interpretation of these events. The account stresses that these deaths were seen as the result of their own actions, not, as you noted, by God's direct intervention, but by his own or their own hand.
So not divine punishment, exactly.
It's not framed that way. It's presented more like natural justice, perhaps.
Yeah.
Within Ricky Zaccari's belief system, consequences catching up. For Ricky Zaccari, this narrative seems to provide a sense of closure, a form of justice within their own lived experience. It reinforces this idea that actions, especially really malicious ones like those described, eventually lead to their own destruction. And that interpretation becomes really important for Ricky Zaccari's own path towards finding peace and purpose again. It helps make sense of the horror and move forward.
And through all of this, this just harrowing experience, Ricky Zaccari didn't just survive. They found this renewed purpose channeled right into the book itself. It has this dual purpose, the author says. It's a dedication to God, my six dogs, they were with me in the trenches.
Honoring the dogs, yes.
And also a testimony to help anyone dealing with any kind of betrayal. It's clear this journey, as painful as it was, led to wanting to help others facing their own battles. So what does this all mean for us, listening to such an extreme story? What's the takeaway?
Well, I think the core message distilled from Ricky Zaccari's very unique experience is ultimately one of hope. The book says, no matter how heartbreaking your story is, you can find strength in God, seek him out. That's a direct quote reflecting the author's belief.
So faith is the ultimate source of strength.
For Ricky Zaccari, yes, but the account also implicitly and sometimes explicitly reinforces other kinds of support too, things we can all relate to. Beyond faith, the source mentions pets bringing comfort. We saw how important the dogs were, the importance of family, close friends, even things like counseling, courses, support groups are mentioned as potential resources.
Right, a whole network of potential help.
Exactly. It's a list of anchors, really. Some
yeah.
spiritual, some relational, some professional. And just as a final detail, the book notes Ricky Zaccari still, as of today, resides in beautiful AZ, Arizona, which shows that life, even after massive trauma and betrayal, can be rebuilt. It's a testament to that capacity for healing, for moving forward.
That really does bring it back to something universal, doesn't it? That need for support, for comfort, for finding a way to heal, whether it's the love of a pet, the strength from faith, guidance from others. Finding those anchors is just vital for getting through any storm.
Wow. What an incredible, intense journey we've unpacked today, from, you know, a 16-year friendship completely shattered to a fight for survival against brutal attacks, these insidious threats, then finding solace in faith, the comfort from loyal animals, and finally reaching a place of peace, wanting to help others. Ricky Zaccari's story, as told in Betrayal, Witchcraft, and Redemption, it's really something. Enduring the unendurable, finding light in real darkness.
It absolutely reaffirms the power of resilience, doesn't it? And just how diverse the ways are that people find strength. Sometimes in really unexpected places, it reminds us that even from the absolute depths of betrayal and danger, there can be redemption, meaning, and this renewed purpose that you can then offer to others.
So as you think about Ricky Zaccari's story, maybe consider this. What personal trenches have you navigated in your own life? Or what battles, maybe perceived ones, have you faced? And what anchors, maybe unexpected ones, spiritual, emotional, maybe even the unconditional love of a pet, would help you find your way through the storm? Something to think about.